From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Gelora Bung Karno tops ranking for most favorite stadiums in Southeast Asia. The Marine Affairs and Fishery Ministry distributes 136 tons feed to boost fish farming amid pandemic. Now the news in details. The Gelora Bung Karno or GBK Stadium in Jakarta was named the most favorite stadium in Southeast Asia after securing the highest number of votes. As quoted by Antara, the Asian Football Confederation AFC official website monitored on Friday stated that Gelora Bung Karno clinched the top ranking after pocketing 58% of the total votes, surpassing the Australia Stadium in Sydney, Maidin Stadium in Hanoi, Vietnam, and Raja Mangala Stadium in Bangkok, Thailand. The construction of the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium was completed in 1962, in the nick of time for Indonesia to host the fourth Asian Games. In due course of times, the stadium was renovated multiple times. The last renovation was completed in 2018 when the country hosted the multi-sport events for the second time. The Marine Affairs and Fishery KKP Ministry distributed 136 tons of fish feed from March to May this year to fish farmers in 24 Indonesian cities to boost fish productions amid the COVID-19 pandemic. As quoted by Antara News Agency on Friday, Slamet Supyakto, the Director of General of Aquaculture at the KKP, noted in a statement that KKP continues to distribute fish feed as one of the most important components of the aquaculture process. The COVID-19 outbreak will not dampen the KKP spirit to produce fish feed while always prioritizing standard safety guidelines. Supyakto explained that the distribution was part of the government stimulus, as fish farmers in several regions had to extend the fish cultivation process as an impact of decreased selling, while it is also an endeavor to ensure continued availability of fish products. Some 14 Indonesian former crew members of the Chinese fishing ship Longsing 629 were flown from South Korea to Indonesia aboard Garuda Indonesia aircraft on Friday. As quoted by Antara, Indonesian Ambassador to South Korea Umar Hadi, during a video recording sent to the media on Friday, stated that they departed for Jakarta aboard Garuda Indonesia aircraft on Friday morning and all of them are in good health. The Indonesian crew members are scheduled to arrive in Indonesia at 3:50 p.m. local time. They were flown to Indonesia after undergoing compulsory quarantine over the novel coronavirus disease at a hotel in Busan, South Korea. During the video recording, the crew members held a telephonic conversation with Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi prior to their departure to Incheon Airport. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. European Union Ambassador to ASEAN Igor Trisman launched the European Union ASEAN Blue Book 2020 on Friday, May 8 in Jakarta. The Blue Book is annual publication between European and ASEAN. In 2020, the theme is Natural Partner that reflects the cooperation between European and ASEAN, which includes issues of trade and economic integration, connectivity, policy dialogue, climate change mitigation, and environment. On his speech, Drimmens highlighted that the global condition affected by coronavirus pandemic In the future, the cooperation program between European Union and ASEAN will be more focused on efforts to respond to coronavirus pandemic. Previously, European Union has distributed assistance of 350 million euro to support ASEAN efforts in handling COVID-19 pandemic.
Of course, today we all have on our minds the coronavirus, and here too we have decided to work together with ASEAN hand in hand. On the 20th of March, our foreign ministers with health ministers and other officials met virtually, of course, to discuss what to do together to combat the coronavirus. And we'll have the opportunity to speak about that in the questions and answers session. But really, for us, this is an international fight. International solidarity, international cooperation is key to combat the coronavirus. So it's not about looking inwards. It's about reaching out a hand, because at the end of the day, no one will be safe unless everybody is safe.
Regarding the cooperation between the European Union and ASEAN ambassadors, Drisman expressed that the cooperation between the two regions has progressed better. The two sides have collaborated on a variety of issues, from climate change to maritime security, the digital economy to high-powered computerizations. According to him, until now, the European Union is still the number one development partner for ASEAN, with a portfolio of 250 billion euros. European Union investment in ASEAN is recorded as the highest investment and the second largest trading partner of ASEAN. This collaboration is expected to continue to be improved in the future. With shops and factories closed nationwide due to the coronavirus pandemic, nearly all the jobs created in the US economy in the last decade were wiped out in a single month. An unprecedented 20.5 million jobs were destroyed in April in the world's largest economy, driving the unemployment rate to 14.7% compared to 4.4% in March, the Labor Department said in its monthly report, the first to capture the impact of a full month of the lockdowns. The United States is home to the world's largest and deadliest coronavirus outbreak, with more than 75,000 fatalities and 1.2 million cases reported as of Thursday, according to Johns Hopkins University. The economic damage has been swift and stunning. In the 2 years of the global financial crisis, the world's largest economy lost 8.6 million jobs and the unemployment rate peak at 10% in October 2019. During the recovery from February 2010 to February 2020, 23 million positions were created. China stated on Friday it supports a World Health Organization-led review into the global response to the coronavirus outbreak, but only after the pandemic is over. The comments from Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Hua Chunying came as China faces increasing global pressure to allow an international investigation into the origins of the pandemic. Hua stated at a press briefing that the review should be conducted in an open, transparent, and inclusive manner under the leadership of the WHO chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. She added that it should be at an appropriate time after the pandemic is over, but Hua did not say the review should probe the origins of the virus, despite growing calls led by the US and Australia for an international inquiry into the issue, which has become a key flashpoint in deteriorating tensions between Washington and Beijing. The towering stands of the 42,477 capacity Jeonju World Cup Stadium stood empty on Friday as South Korea opened football's post-coronavirus era without fans but with an unprecedented international TV audience. With most leagues worldwide sidelined by the pandemic, the K-League is the first competition of any standing to come back to life, and a host of safety precautions have been imposed with wild goal celebration and even talking discouraged. The long-delayed season opener between defending champions Jeonbuk Motors and cup holders Suwon Blue Wings was watched by sports-starved fans in a swath of foreign countries, even though spectators are not yet allowed at K-League games. Only the media sections of the medium, which hosted three matches of the 2002 World Cup, was occupied. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. The first news comes from Surabaya in news from across the country for today. The Surabaya city government established Kedung Cowek Fortress located on Kedung Cowek Street, Bulak, Surabaya City, East Java, as a cultural heritage building. Head of Surabaya City Culture and Tourism Office, Antik Sugiharti, at Surabaya City Hall said on Wednesday that before Kedung Cowek Fortress was designated as a cultural heritage building, she and cultural heritage expert team had conducted various data collecting and studies to support it. Kedung Cowek Fortress is a legacy of the Dutch East Indies government. It was designed in 1899 and begun to be built in 1910. Local people call it Bullets Building because this fort was a storage area for bullets during the colonial era. The initial purpose of the construction of the Kedung Cowek Fortress was to defend the then Dutch colonial government against Japanese troops during the Pacific War. The Dutch prepared large cannons behind the fort's concrete that had been built very sturdy and thick. The next news comes from Magelang, Central Java. Vesak Day for the Buddhist community this year fell on May 7th. Unlike the previous year, this year's Buddhists in Indonesia did not hold a Vesak celebration in Mendut or Borobudur Temple, Central Java, to prevent transmission of a new type of coronavirus. Mendut Temple Secretary Wahyu Utomo in Magelang on Wednesday said that Vesak celebration at the temple were limited to certain people. He had appealed to Buddhists not to celebrate Vesak in the monastery to avoid crowding, but rather they should celebrate it at home. This news comes from Maluku. Sea transportation services in eastern Indonesia remain a priority of the government, even though the country is in the COVID-19 pandemic. The presence of sea toll vessels subsidized by the government is highly awaited by the people of eastern Indonesia. Like the arrival of KM Kandaga Nusantara H at Elat Harbor, K Besar District, Southeast Maluku Regency, Maluku Province on Tuesday, May 5th. The ship is ready to serve 26 sea tolls routes with the network throughout Indonesia. Director of Sea Traffic and Transportation, Captain Wisnu Handoko, on Wednesday hoped that the presence of this sea toll ship could be a means for the people of Papua and Maluku to transport basic needs, products of small and medium enterprises, also agricultural, plantation, fisheries, industrial and mining products. Captain Wisnu guarantees, amid the COVID-19 pandemic, the government will continue to be present so that sea transportation services will continue to run normally. That was news from across the country. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with the event on May 9, 1974, when Judicial Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives opened formally impeachment investigation of Watergate scandal, which involved President Richard Nixon. Watergate scandal is a scandal name which is used to describe a series of political scandals in the United States of America involving President Richard Nixon. The scandal brought about a constitutional crisis that was scandalized in 1970s. In the campaign period of the presidential election, supported group of Nixon from the Republic Party, Committee for the Re-election of President, installed tapper tool at Democrat National Committee office. Due to the incident, on May 9, 1974, the Judicial Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives opened formally impeachment investigation on President Richard Nixon. On August 8, 1974, President Nixon resigned. This incident also revealed facts about Republican corruption in collecting election funds, a secret list in the White House from political opponents through telephone tapping, the slander that was spread against presidential candidates from the Democratic Party, and other facts. The next event is that in 1978, Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro was assassinated. After more than a month of being kidnapped, the body of former Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro was finally found. He was one of the most important leaders of the Christian Democratic Party to be found in the car trunk in Rome on May 9, 1978. Aldo Moro was kidnapped on March 6th by the extreme left terrorist group Red Brigade. The hardline group demanded 13 prisoners of their militia members to be released. Until now, various problems related to kidnappings remain a mystery. The last event is that in 2012, Sukhoi Superjet 100 fell on Mount Salak, Bogor, West Java. On May 9, 2012, Sukhoi Superjet 100 flight number RA36801 fell when conducting flight demonstration or joy flight. The airplane departed from Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, Jakarta by carrying 45 people. But on its flight for a few minutes, the airplane disappeared from the radar screen on the height 1,900 meters and to be predicted to fall. Finally, on May 10th, the Sukhoi Superjet 100 plane debris was found on the cliff of Mount Salak in Bogor, West Java. The plane crashed the rock of Mount Salak. All passengers were killed in the accident. Based on the results of investigations from the National Transportation Safety Committee, the fall of the Sukhoi Superjet 100 was due to human error. And listener, that was Today in History.
Khairun ya ummu 'alal
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia, entitled Ministry Support State-Owned Enterprises Fertilizer Productions. The Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises supports PT Pupuk Indonesia Persero at the state-owned fertilizer company to maintain the availability of subsidized fertilizer for farmers ahead of the second planting season in May to June. Special staff of the Ministry of the State-Owned Enterprises, Arya Sinulinga, in a press statement in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the fertilizer production and distribution activities should continue to run smoothly in order to maintain Indonesia's food security amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Arya Sinulinga considered it was important for the state-owned enterprises to guarantee the availability of subsidized fertilizer so that farmers remain productive in producing food that could be enjoyed by the wider community. The smooth distribution and availability of subsidized fertilizer play a role in realizing food security during the pandemic. PT Pupuk Indonesia Persero Managing Director A.S. Asikin Idat reported that the stock of subsidized fertilizer prepared at the kiosk level was 1.27 million tons. The types of fertilizers available include urea, NPK, SP36, ZA, and organic fertilizer. The availability of these stocks is more than enough when compared to the minimum stock that must be prepared, which is around 285,000 tons, or enough for the 2 weeks' needs. In addition to domestic needs, PT Pupuk Indonesia Persero also recorded export of both fertilizer and non-fertilizer products with a volume of more than 800,000 tons until April 7th. A.S. Asikin Idat ensures export can only be done if domestic needs have been met. According to A.S. Asikin, fertilizer producers continue to export to enhance national economic growth by contributing to the country's foreign exchange and re-strengthening the value of the rupiah. However, they must prioritize the fulfillment of domestic fertilizer first. According to A.S., the export achievements have increased compared to last year. That's because the high demand for fertilizer and non-fertilizer products on the international market. The biggest export destination of Indonesian fertilizer is dominated by Asian countries such as the Philippines, Vietnam, Japan, and China. Besides Asia, Australia, the United States, Mexico, Chile, South Africa, Colombia, and Egypt are still export destinations with considerable demand for urea products. That was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Mengajarkanku apa artinya kenyamanan.
RRI Was Office, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today we will take you to Aceh to taste one of iftar foods in Aceh, namely lambai belgaga. During Ramadan or fasting month, many seasonal markets sell various kinds of food for iftar or breaking the fast. One of them is lambai belgaga, Aceh's typical mixed vegetables of 44 types of leaves and roasted grated coconut. Lambai, which is also called fasting sambal, has savory and unique taste. The main ingredients for making lambai are 44 kinds of leaves, such as kaffir lime leaves, noni leaves, sigentot leaves, and the most important is the pegagan leaves. To make lambai pegagan, all these leaves are thinly cut and mixed with roasted grated coconut and fried peanuts. It also aided with lemongrass, shallots, and red chilies. Lambai is ready to eat as an iftar menu with fresh, savory, and slightly spicy taste. Listener, lambai is believed to have many benefits. It can especially heal colds and have nutrients to improve concentration and memory. Lambai can only be found during the month of Ramadan. The price is affordable. It is 5,000 rupiah per portion. That was Indonesian Wonder featuring lambai belgaga, Aceh's typical iftar food. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you!
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Adanya api cinta antara kita. Apakah ini pertanda tumbuhnya benih-benih cinta? Hari demi hari berlalu, raguku dibuatmu beribu tanya di hati. Apakah dirimu rasakan yang sama? Salah duka.
luka semua. Ini salah duga, aku yang hanya ger saja.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to miscellany. Today, we will inform you about COVID-19 inspiring people with disabilities to work. So stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Present, the COVID-19 global pandemic is still a trending topic throughout the world. The existence of the pandemic does not mean that some people are afraid and stand idly. But this pandemic has actually triggered the creativity of many business people of micro, small and medium enterprises or MSMEs in Indonesia. In addition to triggering the fabric mask industry to innovate with diverse motifs and models, extraordinary creativity emerged amidst this pandemic. People with disabilities who are members of the Harapan Mulia, non-governmental groups or NGO, Resapombo Village, Doko District, Blitar Regency, create batik cloth with the COVID-19 virus motif. The idea came up when Rita Sukirni, as an NGO assistant, explained to the disabled people about the social distancing movement amidst the COVID-19 outbreak. They are mental retardation or MR people who have a habit of hugging each other when they meet. With this movement, of course, it cannot be done anymore. This triggers their curiosity about what the coronavirus looks like. And after being explained, they instead like it and asked to describe the coronavirus form into a batik motif. The coronavirus motif used is an illustration of the COVID-19 virus described by experts. In addition, the words COVID-19 is a confirmation that this batik motif is coronavirus, which is now become a pandemic. When Rita showed the batik to her colleagues, she got good feedback about the batik work. Some people have even ordered it. She said the COVID-19 motifs could be an evidence of a historic outbreak to her grandchildren later that the COVID-19 pandemic had occurred. At present, COVID-19 batik motifs cannot be produced in large quantities. This is because it follows the government's recommendations. Thus, only a few of them are active in accordance with the incoming orders. For the price of splashed batik, it is from 150,000 to 200,000 rupiah per sheet. This is done not only for commercial purposes, but also as a campaign to let know the social distancing and remind the public that the virus is very dangerous. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today with the topic COVID-19, inspiring people with disabilities to work. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. In today's edition, we'll present a keroncong song entitled Kota Solo. The song tells about a city in Central Java province, namely Solo or Surakarta City. The lyrics of the song tells about one of the city's attractions as original arts and dances which are accompanied by traditional music. The city in this song is also mentioned as city which is full of memories. The beauty of the city and its simplicity can release sad heart. Listener, here is Mus Mulyadi with the keroncong song entitled Kota Solo.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sepuluh tahun yang telah lalu,
Voice of Indonesia.
Setulus hatiku, ku ingin menggantikan dia yang pernah kau sayang. Semurni cintaku, hanya kau yang ada di hati.
It is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Dalla. See you on the next English program.